Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own VA. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant, and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a first time for our podcast. But first, welcome to Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Davila. With me always is Bree BV and Leanne Arimley. Sydney's behind the scenes today, and we are welcoming our very first guest, and I'm so excited to welcome Anastasia Bryce. So 20 years ago, this has been a huge thing in my brain lately, is I joined the virtual training program at AssistU and met my teacher and mentor, Anastasia, and it changed my life. Like she told me it would. She said, at the end of this 20 weeks, your life will change. And I'm like, really? How is that so? It did. Let me tell you, it totally did, because I became a virtual assistant. Not just the skills of doing it, but the mindset of it, a business owner, somebody who could step into a client's business and help them grow and change and expand. And it was amazing. And I am so grateful to have found AssistU 20 plus years ago and to have gone through the training program. And you guys, it was a 3-day exam. I was so scared I wasn't going to pass. And I think I might have been the only one to have passed in my class.
We were serious.
But I think I walked away really feeling like I could own being a VA, I could own being a business owner. And I thank you for creating that program because it gave me that foundation. And so I am so grateful that you agreed to be on our podcast, because not only did you train me, you trained hundreds, if not thousands of VAs, but you were a VA at one point, and you'll tell us your story, but then you're also a client. You know from the other side, and not only did you train VAs, but you also help clients to figure out what they are looking for in a virtual assistant. And we're going to get into all of that in this episode, but first, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I can't believe I'm your first guest. How is that possible?
Because we've had a lot of things to talk about. I realized, you guys, this is episode 29. We're in season 3, episode 9, but we've done 29 episodes since we started. That's freaking amazing, y'all. I am so proud of us. And thank you, Sydney, backstage, for being the one to get it all going, to getting it all done. And when I say a VA makes your life easier, Sydney makes my life easier. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get started. So, Anastasia, tell us, how did you become a VA, and how did that kind of inspire you to open AssistU?
So I had been an executive travel planner. My mother owned a travel agency. And it's a very long story. I'm going to do my best to make it the shortest it can be. She and her partners had a falling out, and she got a job managing another agency. And I couldn't stay working with her partners. It was a horrible situation. So I went to work at this other agency with her. And one day she walked up to my desk and she said, they're going to call you in the office and they're going to fire you. And it's okay. They just fired me, and I'll wait for you and we'll go home together. And I'd never been fired from anything in my life. This was my full-time job. I walked in the office. They blamed me for doing something that they had asked me to do, and they fired me for it. Mm-hmm. And that was when I came face to face with the reality that at least in Maryland, which is an at-will state, they literally can pull that rug out from under you at any time for any reason. Doesn't matter. And I went home and I cried for a few days. And my husband finally said, honey, what are you going to do? I mean, we have bills and we rely on your income. And I finally sort of pulled up my big girl panties and realized I didn't have a non-compete. And so I reached out to all of my clients and I said, hey, I'm going to work independently. And you want to come have me still do your travel? I worked with a lot of docs at Hopkins Hospital and Hopkins University. And it was interesting. So long story short, I started my own gig. That was my first foray into, hey, I own a business. And the industry, the travel industry was changing. I mean, it was radically changing very quickly. And I could read the writing on the wall that said that at some point we weren't really going to be doing what we were doing anymore. And so I was looking around at what I wanted to do, and I found coaching, and specifically a company called Coach University, and decided I was going to train with them to be a coach. That was going to be my next iteration. There we go. And one of the things that happened when I was working with those clients is that they would call me and say, oh my gosh, I forgot to cancel my kid's pediatrician appointment tomorrow, or I forgot to order my mother flowers for her birthday. Not my job, but I was happy to help, right? They're busy, they're running through an airport, whatever. And so I did this blend of travel and assisting. And then I went and was going to become a coach. And then one day they sent out this note that said that Thomas Leonard, who was the president of the company, wanted to travel the country in his RV on sabbatical for a year. And he wanted somebody to run his life. And if you thought you were the person, you should raise your hand. And my hand could not have shot up faster. Like, it was the right industry. He was a genius. I was like, it's me. And Thomas picked me and we started working together. Thomas Leonard is the man that I absolutely credit with saying the word virtual assistant first before anybody ever in the history of ever. And so that's how it started. I worked with Thomas, slowly morphed out of travel, just ran Thomas's life and his work. Other people came and wanted me to do that. That's the shortest version of how it started. And then the impetus for Assist You was shortly after I started working with Thomas, I then was working with a couple, very quickly found a niche market. I worked with best-selling, traditionally published authors because there wasn't really self-publishing so much back then. And through them, I started getting all kinds of really great media attention, which was swell. The first of those pieces, when it hit the newsstands in a magazine, women came out of the woodwork. Oh my gosh, how do you do this? How can I do this? I've been in EA for 20 years. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to do something for myself. And that's when I realized that it could be a profession. It could be a real thing. And I took everything that I had learned and all I had started to learn in coaching about creating relationships and creating businesses and things of that nature and created Assist You, which was the first organization of any sort for virtual assistants in the world. So that's how that happened.
That's so cool.
1997. Dang, girl, that was a long time ago.
Well, you know, Leanne has been in business longer than me. And, you know, I found it by accident and it was magic. And it was, how do I do this? How do I become that?
So there were at the time, they called themselves the home-based secretaries, and they had their own association. And I found them on AOL at the time. That's where they were gathering. Of course, we all were gathering on AOL. I started paying attention to what they were doing, and they were very project-based and very task-based. And they constantly had to find clients because they were so project-based and task-based. So somebody would reach out to them and say, can you make me a PowerPoint presentation? And they would do it. And then that would be the end of the engagement. And they'd have to then go find another client. Mm. And so they were really struggling all the time to have enough business to make any money. And I was watching this go on and it was kind of hurting my heart. And then at Christmas, they had to do Santa letters. They had to have people pay them to write letters to their kids that they would then send to the North Pole to get rerouted back to the kid. They were doing that at Christmas to make ends meet. And it was really hurting my heart. And that's why when we started Assist You, everything I said is that the missing link here is this concept of relationships that are long-term and collaborative. Mm-hmm. Because if you create that with your clients, you need fewer clients. You need to do less marketing. And who likes marketing? I've met very few people who are like, yeah, I really want to do this so that I can market and find me some clients. No. Right. So do these long-term collaborative relationships, and there's a whole lot less of that. Yeah. And you can make a bigger difference and have a greater impact and all, you know, all the sorts of things. So that's kind of how that went. And then after me, some other organizations came, most of which are completely gone now. You could see that this was all going to expand and change and turn into different things. And I play my part and other people play their part, and it's great. It's a wonderful industry.
One of the things that I learned in the VTP was that difference, that collaboration and relationship building aspect from a client perspective, because our audience is what VAs want clients to know. What is the value that you've seen clients receive from that kind of mindset shift from that at-home secretary to your definition of a virtual assistant?
So maybe we should start there with my definition, which I will die on the hill on, and I know not everybody agrees with me. We could have a whole conversation about what that's done to the industry. But I believed from the beginning that we needed a strongly branded definition of what virtual assistance was and what virtual assistance did. And I said, as other leaders started to come, that if we didn't get together and create that for us, the public was going to define us for us. And we weren't going to like that at all. And they were all like, oh, Pa, nah, that's not going to happen. And of course, it's exactly what happened. That's why you have ask 15 people what a VA is. And if they even have a clue, you're probably going to get 15 different opinions, right? It makes it very hard for us to have gained any real footing out in the world in a cohesive sort of way. Anyway, my branded definition is that VAs are admin and ops professionals who work in long-term and collaborative relationships with their clients who can be down the street or on the other side of the planet. That's the simplest version of that definition. And when they start talking about specialties, I say, well, that is their specialty, admin and ops. It's what they do. But of course, now we have VAs that are techie VAs and VAs who are social media VAs and VAs who whatever. And then you've got the gig workers who will do whatever you ask them to do for next to no money.
A lot of clients do come to us and they don't necessarily know, right? They're coming to us because they've been told a VA is a $15 VA or overseas outsourcing, or, oh, you can do this for me. Okay. I adopted your definition of a VA from the VTP, right? A VA is a business owner who works with other business owners to do the administrative work. You know, they're a 1099 contract, not an employer, an employee. I spend a lot of time in teaching, educating, motivating clients to think not in the short term, but in that long term viewpoint.
What's the value?
Yeah.
First of all, if you're working with another business owner, someone who actually sees themselves as a business owner, that's a total mind shift from seeing somebody who sees themselves as just a person who's going to do some tasks for you. I've met so many people who want to be VAs or do VA work who literally will say, I don't own a business. What do you mean? I'm just doing some work for these people and they're paying me. And that tells me a couple of things. That tells me, A, they don't know, like they don't know the foundation of their business. B, they're probably not going to be around very long. C, they aren't profitable. I could pretty well, to a man, guarantee that. And that's problematic. As a client, if your VA isn't all of that, why would you invest your time and energy in creating a relationship? Why? So I've had three VAs that were my right-hand person. The first one was my VA for a few years, and then unfortunately something happened that I had to let her go. Her life was changing. Things were getting in the way of her doing a good job, and she caused a major challenge that I couldn't let go. My second VA was my VA until she retired. And when she retired and told me, I thought the left half of my body was being cut away, because she had all of my history and the institutional knowledge. And I could say to her, Marie, do you remember when I, and she'd say, yeah. And then she'd remind me of the thing we did 6 years ago. And my current VA, she has only been my VA for about a year. but it has been wonderful and seamless and all kinds of things. And I expect that she'll be with me until the day that I decide to stop doing this. So value, just the history, how much more the VA can provide to you in your work and in your life when they hold all of that, mm-hmm. as opposed to just knowing what they did on that PowerPoint presentation, or they only know one aspect of your work, et cetera, et cetera. That's where I stand on that. I don't think I would ever retain the services of any VA who did not absolutely know that she owned a business and behaved the way that she should because she owned a business. Also, another value. I have seen so many times when the VA's standards, if she has high standards for her business, rub off on the client. And that is a huge value because one of the things I've always noticed and always seen in coaching, with the exception maybe of me, I don't know anybody who gets into business to run the business. What I mean by that is you get into business to offer something, whether that's a coach offering coaching or an author who wants to write a book or a VA who wants to offer VA services. Most people don't love all the things that go into running the business. I mean, we may love running businesses for other people, and we could also hate all doing all the stuff that we should be doing on the back end of our own businesses. But there's a value there when the other person is doing them and the client can learn from that and grow from that. And the VA can say, you know, you have no standard operating procedures. What the heck are you doing? You're flying by the seat of your pants. We're going to fix that. The client may not have ever known that there was a reason to have them, right, or have access to them. I have, can I tell a quick story? It's just really great one. So in addition to what would I do to help clients connect, I also I'm a coach. And sometimes clients come because they want coaching, whether they just want a single session, they want to work with me longer term. But this author came, she needed help. She had a VA who'd been her VA for a really long time. Author lives on the West Coast, VA lives on the East Coast. VA is 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And the VA has been sick. And the question is, what do we do? And I said, well, is she planning to retire? Is she okay? Is she coming back? I mean, is it like a cold sick or is she really ill? Oh, no, she'll be back. I said, okay, so where are all of your business documents stored? She said, what do you mean? And I said, you know, all the things, the procedures and policies and passwords. She said, oh, they're at her house in Virginia. And I said, so what I would offer you first is get them, put them someplace where you can access them. Her husband was on the call with us and he said, are you suggesting that she handle her own stuff? I said, no. I'm suggesting that she have access to it because right now she doesn't. And if your VA doesn't come back, what are you going to do? And they fired me for saying it. She did die. She ended up dying. And I'm like, a fly to her house? I don't know. What do you do? Does she have kids that can help you get it? She didn't make sure that the client was in a better position for her being in her life, which is another thing. Of course, we all know we want our clients to be much better off with us. And if we end up parting ways, we want them to be better off than they were when we found them.
So to kind of go back from a client perspective, when you taught the VTP and were teaching VAs, aside from the things we've talked about, is there any other lessons that you taught VAs that you feel are super helpful for clients to know?
Yeah. And I was looking at your podcasts and you've done a bunch of them on your podcast. You know, like clients should depend on a VA, but not be dependent on a VA. We taught that. You did interviews are like dating, which is, you know, I have this long interview process that I taught. I still offer it to my coaching clients, but that prevents clients and the VA for that matter from ending up what I refer to as like a quickie Vegas wedding that you want to have annulled in a few days. Working with proactive, you want proactive clients instead of reactive clients. And I don't know if you talked about it in that episode, but my concept of, you know, really calling shotgun in your client's bus. So I believe that clients have, you know, metaphorically speaking, a super blinged out rockstar tour bus that is their business. And they drive it because who else should really drive it? Right. But they should give their VA the shotgun seat so that this, the VA is sitting up front and can see all of the same things that the client's seeing out the window, right? So if the client says, I think I'll turn left here, the VA can go, whoa, 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 no, there's a herd of pygmy goats down that road. You don't want to do that. Let's go down to the next street and turn left. Whereas if you don't let the VA be in a proactive position, the VA is sitting in the back of the bus and you make that hard turn and all she can do is come running up and say, what are you, wait, what are you doing? Slam on the brakes. We can't, not fun for anybody. One of my standards, I don't work reactively. I refuse. If somebody wants me to work reactively, they can go find somebody else. It's not helpful to them and it's not going to be good for me. So that's not what I'm going to do. So that is a good one. I think clients could hold on to, they should drive their bus, but they really should let their VA be their right hand and let them in on everything. Let them see all of what's going on so that they can bring their abilities, their expertise, their smart thinking, whatever, to the party. You did one about fit. I always say to clients, skills can be learned, but fit can't be faked. And that's really important. There's the one about the definition, which we've already talked about. Working in partnership, that concept of partnership is important. And a lot of people don't understand partnership. Partnership is not just you give me work to do, I do it, you pay me. That's transactional. That's like taking your clothes to the dry cleaners. Partnership is where you really collaborate, where there is a meeting of the minds, where you both people benefit, both businesses benefit. My VA, for example, could ask me for anything I have, even if it was just in service to one of her other clients. If she knew I had it, absolutely come to me and ask me for it. It is yours. I am happy to do that. Just in the same way that she brings every bit of information. And I've actually had VAs in the past who have said, you know what? I have a client who has that. I'm going to go get it for you. So partnership really has to be two equals, not here's the work. Okay, I did your work. Here's your money. That's another one. The calling your own shots, you know, being a business owner, calling your own shots, not acting like an employee. And of course, one that is super important to me, Rachel, I know you know this, is having really high standards. And I would say that for the client too, right? It's really important. You have high standards, your VA should have high standards, then you fit. And now what you've created is something really magical. Be profitable. That goes in both directions, right? You want the clients to be profitable for obvious reasons, but the clients should want the VAs to be profitable so that they're around long-term. I really often think that anything I could say to the VAs, I could literally turn around and say to the clients. Fair. Because we're talking business concepts and business foundational items.
We just show up in different, we just show up with different skills, right? Like a coach is coaching, a VA is VAing, but we're business to business. Yeah.
I have a story. It's the goat eagle story. I don't know. Have you done that, Rachel?
It shows up in my as doers versus collaborators, employee-minded versus business partner-minded VAs. Yeah.
So what I'll just say about it is basically the eagles are more management, strategy, watching out over the whole landscape, making sure everything's going well for you, oriented. And the goats are the people who will chew anything you put in front of them within 4 feet. They can be amazing goats. They should be amazing goats, but they don't want to do the other stuff. And eagles would be incredibly bored doing task work that they just get fed all the time. And I've learned over time that in general, and you know, just making a huge generalization here, VAs end up in one of basically those two pots. But here's the thing for the client. If the client doesn't have somebody that's like an eagle, the client has to be his own eagle. And again, did the client get into business to do that? No, he did not. He got into business to do whatever. And if the eagle is going to be eagling, then really there need to be other people to do the task work. The eagle can do some of it. And we have a hybrid at Assist-U called a geagle.
A geagle?
A geagle. Either a goat that has some eagle tendencies, or an eagle that really likes to get her hands dirty.
Yeah.
So either way you look at it, it's sort of a hybrid in certain ways. And I'm happy in that middle place. I'm happy as an eagle, but I also have no problem getting my hands dirty whatsoever. I love it. It would make me crazy if I couldn't actually do some of the things, right? Like, I don't just want to use my brain. I think a lot of them come and they think they need the $12 VA, or they need these tasks done, or they've got this laundry list of things, but they don't realize that if they don't have the person that is managing all of that, that they have to do it themselves. And they're not good at it. It's not their skill. Their skill is coaching or writing a book or whatever they're doing over there.
So in one of our episodes, we talked about where do you find a VA, and Assist You Registry was one of the resources that I shared in this on our resource page. So can you tell us a little bit about the registry and then your offering of Registry Gold?
Yeah. So the registry is a free service. It is a DIY service. They are able to come to Assist You and fill out a fairly detailed questionnaire, which then goes in front of our VAs who have very high standards around their own businesses and who they're looking for. And they self-select. If they're interested in talking with this person more, they respond. If they're not, they don't say a word. Nobody at Assist You is allowed to reach out to a client that they don't think could possibly be a really good fit, or someone that they don't. If a client has said, I need help with these 90 things, if the VA doesn't have the skills to do the vast majority of them and a ready plan to get the rest of them handled, she can't answer. So there are very high standards around how these people get responded to or not. Registry Gold is a do it with you. It's a service that I offer where I take them through that same process, but I work alongside them. We go over the questionnaire because they don't know how to fill out a question. That's the other thing. Have they ever done that? No. Go over the questionnaire, make sure that what they're asking for is realistic. And if it isn't, we talk through that and, you know, change things up. And then I actually walk them through talking to the VAs. It's really created to keep them smart in the search process. And if we don't happen to have a VA who's in, you know, that turns out to be wonderful and perfect for them, then I also have, you know, other ideas that I share with them about where they can continue the search, because they've already got the bulk of the stuff they need to go do it, right?
Yeah.
So that's the registry and Registry Gold. There's also, as I said, there's coaching. They can also get coaching if they just want it. If they have questions before they do the search, they can also get in and have conversation with me about that. Clear up some things in their own minds before they go off and try to do it on their own.
Putting on your client hat, what do you wish you would have known when you first made the transition? And how has that changed how you support clients starting their journey to hire a VA?
It's really a hard one. I mean, you're asking me to think back decades, right? Like, what did I... It's hard to think of what I wish I'd known now that I know all that I know.
Yeah.
I could say I wish I'd known all that I know. Right? No. Okay, here we go. I wish that there had been resources for me to reach out to. I wish that there had been a, hey, do I need a VA podcast? I wish that there had been an Anastasia Bryce back when I started. I wish that there had been somebody to help guide me to do this well, because it also breaks my heart when clients don't do it well and then they think it was necessarily, they think it was the VA's fault.
Yeah.
When, and we all know, probably whether we've experienced it ourselves or we've seen it with other people, that it takes two to tango, right? And yet what you end up seeing out on the interwebs is, oh, I just got rid of a really crappy VA and she did this and she didn't do that. And I bet if we dove into that story a little further, there'd be a whole other side to that, that the public doesn't really get to see. So I wish that there had been more resources when I started, so that there was less of me figuring it all out on my own.
Well, I'm glad we're here to be that resource for our listeners. So
yeah, me too.
Bree, Leanne, do you have any questions?
Go for it, Bree.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like you guys covered a lot of it. I think what you've done is incredible. I think that there's a lot of really good value in what you're saying. I feel like I'm an eagle that likes to be a goat. I'm like, oh, I can see where that happens. And then, yeah, I love the way that you describe the client and VA relationship and all the different aspects that you bring in can relate to so much of what you're saying. And it is a lot of figuring it out as we go. And we all don't know what we don't know, right? So where can we get the resources to help support them finding the right fit or seeing the value and what they might want to look for? Because it's a journey on both sides.
Absolutely. I really wish, before Leanne goes for it, I really wish that there were a way, and this goes back to wishing that we had a cohesive understanding in our profession. But it makes me crazy when I see some influencer type coach person who's telling all of her followers to go out and find a $15 an hour VA and treat them like crap. You know, treat them like an employee. Just tell them what you want. Tell them what you need. Make them do what you want. I would love for us to all be able to go out and say, no, 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 don't listen to that. Because there's so much stuff that's being taught that's so backwards.
Agreed. Yeah. I do actually have a quick question. When it comes to like, because it feels like anybody who does something remotely has been kind of lumped in as a VA. Right. But it's also a term that people are starting to at least recognize as something that would be a support in their business. Right. So I see the value where people who are specialized are also like using the term in their stuff because it's something relatable that people are paying attention to versus not knowing how to position themselves otherwise. Do you have any words of wisdom or things around that for people who are specialists and don't know what to do with that and they're falling in under the virtual assistant label?
One of the things that we've always taught is call yourself what you are. So if you're a bookkeeper and you do bookkeeping, don't try to call yourself a VA and slide in under that moniker. It's just going to confuse everybody. Call yourself a bookkeeper. If you're a social media management specialist, don't call yourself a VA. Don't do it. There's no world in which you have to, especially because, let's take bookkeeper. Pretty much everybody knows what a bookkeeper is. They still don't know what a VA is. So now you've taken something that could really be easy for them to understand. You're calling yourself something that isn't really what you're doing. And now you've made it more complicated for them to understand what you do. Whatever the simplest, best known term for the thing that you're offering is, that's what you are. That's what you do. That, you know, don't just leave VAs alone. Just don't. Sorry. Likewise, I'm, you know, as a VA, I would never call myself a bookkeeper. No, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. So that, does that help?
Yep.
Okay. Call yourself what your specialty is. There you go. That's what I would do. And then sell the heck out of that or market the heck out of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So I have a question. I need you to look into your crystal ball.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
With all the AI that's coming in,
oh,
I'm starting to hear people say things like, I don't need a VA. I can do it myself. AI is going to help me. Where do you see the VA industry going from here?
That's a really great question. I'm really glad you asked. So we've been through and we've weathered in these decades, a bunch of different things that have come along where people have said, no, we don't need VAs. We can do it ourselves. I mean, just getting the internet, right? Really having these clienty people who have access to the internet, who can do their own email and their own account. And everybody said, oh, nobody's going to need an assistant anymore because we can all do it. They don't do it as well as we do it. They just don't. As fast, as easy, holding all the details together, they just don't. And again, they didn't get into business to do those things. So we've weathered so much of that. I believe that the VAs who will likely have a problem because of AI are the ones who are more task-oriented, who want you to just feed them things. Because if I can say to you, hey, find out what it costs for me to take the train from Baltimore to New York next Thursday around 12 o'clock, right? I can write, if I have to tell you that task, like that specific task, and then I have to stand over you while you do it to make sure you've given me what I really want, I can write a freaking prompt in AI that'll do that for me. And I can have my answer in about 14 milliseconds. You know what I mean? It's like that. Daniel Pink wrote a book years ago called A Whole New Mind. And if you've never read it, I really could not suggest it more. It's one of those evergreen, amazing books that will be perfect for the rest of time. But what he talked about at that time that really landed for me is something that is important here. He was talking about the fact that America is innovative. And what he said is, at the time, you need to use your mind. You need to be a knowledge worker. If you are just a doer, sooner or later, you're going to need to bend over and kiss your butt goodbye, because tools are going to replace you. And that's when I started talking about that. I was like, if you are a goat, if you are the person who just wants to sit there and eat whatever's fed to you, sooner or later, you're not going to have a place anymore. I really believe that. I believe that people have to bring more to the table than just, I can push this button and that button. And even, you know, with people who, like Leanne, I know you're a tech person, right?
Yes.
There's so much more than button pushing involved in that, or can be, right? Yeah. For example, if you're dealing with automations, oh my gosh, complicated, complex automations to make things flow and have the workflow work so well. Clients aren't going to do that. And I don't think they can write a really good prompt to make it all do the things. It's just an impossibility. So it's the humans behind it who understand how the AI works, who maybe can use AI to help themselves, that will also, I think, continue to thrive. Whereas everybody else will just go the way of an AI prompt, a really good AI prompt. How do you see it?
I agree with you. You and I started in this industry at the same time. I literally became a VA in 98. So I've seen fax machines go away and, you know, email come up and websites and all this stuff. So I've seen the ebb and flow, but AI seems to be a little bit different because it seems to be, or it's trying to be more like a human. Mm. So it's being pushed out as you can talk to it and you can talk to a VA and the VA will do it, or you can talk to AI and the AI will do it. So I wanted to hear what you were thinking, you know, what's going to happen to the VA industry if 10 years down the road from now, you can literally talk to the AI and it literally does exactly what the VA does. In theory, it could hold all the information in their head too, just like a VA. So
it could, and maybe we'll get there, but I don't see that happening in the next few years. I think that is, if that's a possibility at all, that's way further down the road, you know? And we've weathered so much that I just keep thinking that the people who are willing to adapt will survive. Exactly. And the people who are not willing to adapt will not. We just had a conversation about this. We have a whole AI group at Assist You. And we did this whole conversation, and there's a VA at Assist You who is, she's been in an admin for so long, like way longer than any of us. And she still likes to kind of kick it old school. She's the girl who still wants to make phone calls for people. And I'm like, no, do not, I don't want to make phone calls. And she's starting to get worried because she has not, I think she doesn't feel like she's stayed as relevant as she might have needed to be. And I think she has an opportunity, a unique opportunity to change that for herself if she wants to. I mean, I'm not saying anybody has to, right? You can go off and do whatever you do, ride this train until it ends, just the way it is. Or you can change what you're doing, or change how you see it, or change the tools you use. How many tools have we all used in the years we've been in business? Right. There's a tool that's really great until there was a better tool. And then we're like, woo, let's use that now. I think the thing that is most important, I'll say this, anybody that wants to embrace AI to any degree needs to make sure that their discernment skills are top notch. That's what has to happen. If you're a VA and you've got lousy discernment skills, maybe stay away from AI.
All right, we need to kind of wrap up, but I have one thought on this, and it is there's a human component that AI does not bring. And, you know, we've talked about it in terms of other cultures, you know, and slang. At some point, AI might get to that point. But I also know with one of my clients, you know, we've done the tools and he's now adding back in that personal component, that one-on-one component, because I think especially right now, and it might change, but people are hungry for a person, right? Yes, I can send an email, but if I can talk to you even for a few minutes, and I, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it might shift right away from some of the technologies and back to a more personal thing. In some areas, in some aspects, probably for some tasks, right? You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like talking to an AI computer. I want to talk to a person, right?
I love my AI.
And I'm really loving learning it, but I'm not quite ready to embrace the skill set for that. But to wrap up, thank you for this amazing conversation. And how can people find you? How can our listeners find you? And we will make sure that that information gets put into our show notes.
Thanks. So for clienty people, it's workwithava.com. Or they could just go to assist you and click the link that says, if you want to work with a VA. And otherwise, it's assistyou.com. If they're looking for me, it's AnastasiaBryce.com. I'm Anastasia Bryce anywhere you want to look for me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you have any questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Or use our links that are in the link tree, and we will make sure to put Anastasia's information in the show notes. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.